This is Ozarks at Large. With me is the Militant Grammarian, and we are continuing to have our social distancing, which means Catherine Sherrills is outside on the sidewalk.
Yep.
I'm inside in the studio. We're all linked up, but far enough away. How are you doing?
Fine. Much more pleasant than our first sunny spot.
Yes.
Yeah.
I tried to put us in a picnic table in the front of KUAF, and the sun was beating down.
Too much sun. It's one of those hot days.
Yes.
Kyle, a couple of years ago, we talked about synecdoche.
Right.
So I know you remember what that is.
Yes, but again, for our listeners who don't.
It's a word or phrase in which part of something is used to represent the whole, or
right,
a whole
right,
is
right,
used
right.
to represent part of something. For instance, saying I got a new set of wheels, you would know what?
A car.
Yeah. Today we're going to examine another figure of speech that seems similar. The term is metonymy.
Metonymy.
M-E-T-O-N-Y-M-Y. It uses something more generally or loosely associated with the concept to stand in for it. Not necessarily a part of it, but something that we associate
okay,
with it.
Okay.
For instance, when Americans speak of the Oval Office.
I mean the presidency.
Yeah, they're referring to the activity within it or the position. The difference between synecdoche and metonymy is that in metonymy, the word you employ is linked to the concept you're talking about, not actually a part of it, what I just said. Yeah.
Right.
So let's see if you can figure out some of the widely used metonyms.
Okay.
When the British speak of authority and responsibilities of the monarchy, they're likely to refer to it as...
the crown.
Yes. In Julius Caesar, when Shakespeare had Antony ask for everyone's attention, he employed a metonym.
Friends and countrymen?
No, he's asking for attention.
Lend me your ears.
Yeah, lend me your ears. Right. So ears
right.
is listen.
Right.
Yeah. Generally, metonymy is used in developing literary symbolism, meaning it gives a more profound meaning to otherwise common ideas or objects. In addition, the use of metonymy helps achieve conciseness. For instance, rifles were guarding the gate is more concise than the guards with rifles in their hands are guarding the gates.
Sure.
Okay, fill in the blank, Kyle.
Okay.
Blank has been releasing very few movies lately.
Hollywood.
Yes.
Means
good.
The entire industry.
That's right. Right. That's good. Hollywood is literally a district in Los Angeles, but because it has become linked to movie making, it's a common example of metonymy. The blank, okay, let's say you're having a major renovation in the room where you cook.
Okay.
And you're telling a friend how the renovation is going. Mm-hmm. The blank is coming along nicely.
Where I cook the kitchen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So rather than saying the renovation of the kitchen.
I see what you're, yes, right.
Yeah.
How's the kitchen coming along? Oh,
yeah.
It's about done.
Exactly.
Yep.
It can't come or go, but
right.
as a metonym, it makes sense.
Gotcha.
Because associative and referential thinking are so natural and automatic to us, metonymies can be found and understood frequently in everyday language, literature, and pop culture. Okay, Kyle, let's put you in a much more formal business environment than KUAF.
Mm-hmm.
You have many supervisors, and you have an assignment. You tell me, if we don't get these reports in today, the blank will be after us.
Well, I suppose you could say the suits, and you often hear it, the suits upstairs.
The suits.
Right?
Yeah, the suits.
The suits.
Right. Mm-hmm. Meaning the business people.
Right.
Or sometimes the higher-ups, I guess. The people who wear suits every day.
Right. You know, people who work for the sports cable network ESPN, they refer to the suits there as the mothership.
Oh.
We'd like to do that, but the mothership will probably say no.
Oh. Huh. The suits would say no, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you got your report in, and so now you want to celebrate with a fancy dinner. That fancy fish blank is just what I wanted.
That fancy fish plate?
Plate or dish.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Dish rhymes, so.
Right, fish dish.
Okay, here's a hope that many protesters have these days, that their demands will be heard at the center of power. After the protest, maybe blank will listen to the voters.
So this one's a lot like Hollywood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Putting in Washington to represent an entire
U.S.
industry.
Government.
Right.
Yes, right.
I wonder if in the Walmart world, outside of here, they say that about Bentonville.
Oh, like if we don't think Bentonville will approve that.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet they do.
You know, if you've got a, if you're a Walmart store in Boise, you say,
yeah,
we'll see what the guys, we'll see what Bentonville thinks about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I bet okay, they do. And I bet that's, you know, nationwide, if not worldwide.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's end with some quick fire questions.
Okay.
All using a place, just what we're talking
okay,
about.
Okay.
To refer to an industry.
Oh, this will be fun.
How do we refer to the tech industry?
Silicon Valley.
Yep. How do we refer to the advertising industry?
Madison Avenue.
Yep. How do we refer to the New York Stock Exchange?
Wall Street.
Yeah. Now you know the difference between synecdoche and metonymy.
Right.
You're ready to win your next bar bet.
When you can go.
Or outside drinking corral
bet. There you go. Your aura bet. Thank you. Catherine Sherald is our militant grammarian.